In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we'll continue our services for the introduction to this speech. I'll read from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, from the closing portion, 3 verses from the 66th to the 69th verses, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of God's word, I have become before you tempted. Can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe. This portion of the Gospel of John is that we heard through Mauno, brother, that about the bread of life, and this is at the end of that same chapter. And Jesus had, in the area of Capernaum, had kept services, and the people had listened to him. And if we go back in this chapter somewhat, it tells that when they heard this, many of his disciples could not take this and said that who can listen to this? And some said that this is a hard speech. Who can hear it? How can this dear Son of God, our dear Redeemer, teacher, how can his speech sound so hard to his disciples? Dear listeners, hearers of God's word, have you ever been in a situation where what you listened to spoke straight to you and it seemed to be hard, the speech of a brother or a sister when they have come to speak to you? From my own self, I could say it didn't feel good when someone came straight to me and said something. And why, what's the reason that it didn't feel good? Is it because of our own selfishness? Or of our own selfishness that we wouldn't want to hear or become humble under the will of God? This sin clings to us even though we are redeemed sinners. The enemy of the soul surrounds us, and when our dear ones come to speak to us, it may seem kind of harsh. But when Jesus had kept his speech, he had spoke that he is the one that had brought this bread down from heaven, and he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood, that he will inherit eternal life in heaven. And this offended many listeners. And Jesus knew himself that his disciples complained about this. And he said, does this offend you? When the word of God can speak, it awakens unbelievers to the knowledge of sin. And it could awaken the mind of a believer that they want to take care of this sin that has clung to them. And to for unbelievers, it drives one, drives them to Christ, that they could repent and believe the gospel. But there were also these disciples that had been offended by the speech of Jesus. Then a short memory of this. When I went to see my own dear mother in this summer, she is over 80 years old. We near ones can notice how little by little the Heavenly Father tears down this outward house. And we pray that the Heavenly Father would give as little as possible sickness and illness or pain to my mother. But we know that it is God who establishes the time of birth and the time of death. In this speech which we talked with Mother, there weren't a lot of these temporal sorrows anymore. Of course, she always remembers her children. And in prayer, she would remember those near ones. But as we know, and by my own experience is this, that very often a mother or my own spouse who feel, who know us all the best. And when we went to visit Mother, Mother asked, first of all, has there come sin? She probably saw that a quiet boy came to visit, but there wasn't more to be say that sin clings. And a mother's habit was, it would end in this way, that she would bless with the gospel. When God prepares one for leaving or departure, probably there's nothing more in thought that, or in mother's thoughts, that you can believe your sins forgiven. The speech of Jesus and the introduction to this text, which I read, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This word of God either improves or offends. And if the enemy of the soul has been able to be victorious over one, and it's always been so that it causes offense. And if Jesus' disciples were not able to listen to this speech of what Jesus spoke, and if they couldn't turn and become humble and believe the gospel, there were also these listeners, a lot of Pharisees and scribes, and once Jesus was keeping services in his own home, and there it was full of, in the second chapter of Mark, where it tells of how Jesus, near Jesus, was lowered a paralyzed man through the roof toward near to Jesus. And in this narrative, it tells what was the most important thing, that Jesus forgave this paralyzed man's sins forgiven, and he said, "Son, you can believe, your sins forgiven." And the Pharisees listened, and these scribes listened, and they said to one another, "How can he speak like this? Who other than God can forgive sins?" They couldn't believe this, that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had the power to forgive sins. And then Jesus knew this. And this portion of Mark continues that, how can you think in this way? Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man that your sins are forgiven, or to say that take up thy bed and walk? But we know that the Son of God has the strength to forgive sins, or to say to this man to take up thy bed and walk. And Jesus did these miracles. He cured sick people and fed people, great groups, with a little food, like 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and did many types of miracles. And he said to the listeners that you only came to look at my miracles, but you nevertheless did not believe. And for this reason, Jesus cured the sick and awakened the dead, that people would believe that he is the promised Messiah that God has sent to this world to atone for all the sins of all mankind. For this reason, he was here, that we would today, dear listener, that everyone has permission to believe, their own sins forgiven. When, from our own part, we don't have anything to give to God. If we would believe only for this time, the Bible would say that we are the worst in all of enemies in all the world. We are created for heaven. For this reason, it is important for us to pause and listen at these services, and where believers are gathered together, and where this living word of God is preached, that we can receive this for every day. We are able to believe the forgiveness of sins and freely live as a child of God. Then it tells us that they went away, those who couldn't stand the speech of Jesus. And then Jesus asked from his own 12 disciples, "Will ye also go away?" Then I sometimes thought that, what could it be a better example that to be in the midst of God's kingdom as a grace child of God? The enemy of the soul, when it comes to mind of Judas, when Judas became greedy, and when he betrayed his Lord and Master. But the enemy of souls, as we know from the opening pages of the Bible, that he is a liar. He wants to make us fall from God, from God's kingdom. And he belittles and lies that when you do this or function in this way, that, but we know the enemy of the soul is the enemy of God, And we know that he is not on an honest matter, but his intention is only to make people fall away from God's kingdom. And when Judas was reminded of in this, in the 13th chapter, it tells very significantly how Jesus appeared unto Judas, his betrayer, and when he had washed the feet of all the disciples, he then afterwards said, "Truly, verily, verily, he who takes me, which I send, they accept me." And then it continues, and so Jesus spoke. He said, "Verily, verily, one of you will betray me." I have sometimes thought that when these 12 disciples it was easier for them to believe when they were right next to their Redeemer than it is for us. But in the same way, they were people and they fell into sin. And Peter, I was reminded of Peter. And how they wanted the better place as sons of Zebedee. When we are only sinful people and we fall into sin, when these disciples ask that who of us, and when he gave this piece of bread to Judas, Jesus said to Judas that what you intend to do, do it soon. And this portion of the gospel ends he spake of when after eating this Judas left. Dear listener of God's word, the enemy of the soul is a liar. As he tells you that when you give up your faith, you'll get this or that. But Judas, when he left from Jesus, it was the night. Judas was very remorseful. When he did what he did. But what did he do? He went to the high priests. He didn't find any grace with the high priests, or he didn't get any find the gospel, and he ended up taking his own life. And it is said in the first letter to the Corinthians, this comforting word, that death has no power over us. But it tells in the end of the 15th chapter how Paul writes that this portion of the scripture of Corinthians speaks about this, the bite of the scorpion and the poison is But the comfort for us, for every one of us, from this, in this portion of Corinthians, continues. But praise be unto God, who has given us the victory through may our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory even today. When I and my, we want to believe our own sins forgiven, it is victory. It is victory for over the enemy, over his lies. With Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, he won over the battle of death. And for this reason, it is so comforting to believe we have the way open to heaven. And for this reason, it pays to endeavor. Even though the enemy of the soul tempts us and surrounds us, it pays for us to believe. No matter how weak our faith seems, it pays to believe. Peter answered to Peter, to Jesus, when Jesus asked that, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? We just spoke of this, that is there a better alternative than that we can live as God's, in God's kingdom as a child of God? And these big services and the services in general, when we meet other believers, it doesn't seem that we see sorrowful people, but we see happy faces, we see satisfied expressions, that the peace of God is seen in us. But when we have the peace of God on our conscience, and we have a joyous mind, a peaceful mind, when we can believe for ourselves, all our sins forgiven. And Peter continued that you have the word, thou hast the words of eternal life. And when we spoke about the gospel of Mark, that they, it was difficult for them to believe that he had the word of eternal life. And so it is throughout all time, even today. Those on the outside of God's kingdom, they cannot believe that in this small flock is the word of eternal life. It is not this that it's in us people, but through the Holy Spirit, we can humbly believe that God himself lives in our midst through his Spirit, and through this Holy Spirit we preach this gospel which is lowered from heaven. God left this with his own kingdom when he arose to heaven, and he said, I will leave you the Holy Spirit. And so humbly we can say that through God, through the Holy Spirit, from his kingdom, this grace gospel is heard and is offered to all. And we also preach this gospel to be heard, and through the Holy Spirit, and may the God open the ears of the listener to hear his word. And Peter continued, "And we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God." Many times I thought about this order of the words here in the older Bible and then in this newer translation, that we believe that, and we believe, first cometh faith, simple faith, as we heard through Tapio, Brother Tapio, that our God's kingdom is our kingdom of children. And as children, we can journey here. We don't need more than this simple faith. And understanding comes to in that amount that God himself will open to us. I remember a few weeks ago as a teacher at a confirmation camp here at the Opisto, there's this lesson about the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I would say to all the confirmation students that it was nice to keep this confirmation. We had a very peaceful group, and it is very important to pause around these very important matters. And confirmation is for this, that we would all pause and listen and learn about the most important matters of life. And I kept this lesson on the triune God. And when it was ended, and I asked if it went over them, that sometimes it seems that there are matters in the Bible that it just doesn't open up. And it may open in a different way to the speaker than to the listeners. But if the will of God's, his will is that it doesn't open, then it will not open. But God opens his understanding into different ways to listeners. And some word touches one that it doesn't touch the other. But this word of God which we hear, he according to his will opens it. And I asked them that did this go above them? It seemed quite somewhat difficult by teaching this, and they said that both of them, it went over. Well, then I said, well, let's go ahead and take a break. And so it can be, we can trust this, that we don't always understand everything, and old speakers have said that we can lift our cap and go on if there's something that we don't understand. And so this portion of Peter, it says to Jesus, we believe that you are the Son of the living God. In this small portion, I'll read how we can believe freely and freely live this gift of life and the care of God which he has given to us. And for this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life, of what you eat or what you drink. Do not worry what kind of clothing and isn't the spirit more than raiment. Look at the birds of the heaven. They don't sow or they don't gather for the storage. But nevertheless, the Heavenly Father feeds them, and are you not much more than these birds? Who will can by sorrowing increase their life? And so we can securely trust throughout time that we will all be taken care of. As Dapio spoke of this psalm from 39, how God has known us from the time when we were in our womb of the mother, every one of us. And the Bible also says that not one hair will fall from our head without God knowing. So well God knows us. He knows our thoughts and our needs, and it's secure to be a child of God in God's kingdom. There is no need for distress. And I would like to still read from the Revelations a longer portion, which I have spoken of when we are on the journey towards heaven. And for this reason, we are... John wrote about this somewhat in Revelations in the 7th chapter. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and that fell before the throne, on their faces, and worshipped him, God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and the honor and the power and the might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lamb which is before the throne guides them and brings them to the fountains of life. In some portion, it says that Jesus prays unceasingly on the right hand of the Father for all of us, that we would be protected as children of God. And here it says, this Lamb which guides us brings us to the sources of living water. And these sources of living water, dear listener, you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood and be free. This is the power which carries us towards the glory of heaven. And here in this portion of the Revelation says beautifully, when we suffer sorrow and tribulation and sin clings to us, that we will once receive this call home. God will wipe away the tears. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. In heaven there is no sorrow, or there is no sin. And there we will sing thanks, hymns of praise to the Lamb. And we're journeying towards this now. It pays to believe. You can, the last temptations and sins and doubts, believe, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, and continue freely believing. To peace, freedom, and joy, all sins are forgiven. And when we believe in this way, we have the reward awaiting us. And at the very end, you, dear listener, which has been able to be guided by God, are listening to this voice. But does it, if it seems that the peace of God is lacking in you, that you aren't believing now, but to just you, you are hearing this dear voice of the Jesus, pause and humble your mind to hear what God has to say to you. God has these kinds of greetings for you, that you can, just at this moment, you can believe your unbelief and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And then in your heart will come a new dweller, and the enemy of the soul will lose. And he will have to leave your heart, and the peace of God will come into your heart. It pays to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.